It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome to Money for Lunch. It's great. It's always great to have you guys here. Thank you so much for stopping by. And today's quote of the day, today's quote of the day is fairly simple. Free yourself from the opinions of others. And that is one of my favorite quotes. And it's actually my quote, for lack of better terms. If you are still striving to reach your goals, your resolutions, you're still excited about them, you are in the minority. Right now, it is January 22nd, and something like 85% of people have already forgotten, lost, misplaced, or stopped chasing their resolution. So if you are in the minority, congratulations, good for you. So here's a tip that I learned from Grant Cardone, and that is, if you really want to empower yourself to hitting these goals, then write them down every day. Write them down every day. Yes, it can be a little tedious, but it all depends on what you're trying to achieve, right? Now, here's something else I learned from Grant Cardone. When he gets down, when he gets upset, when a deal goes bad, when things are not going his way, what does he do? He writes down his goals. And yes, you can review them every day, but let me tell you, I started doing this since Grant talked me into it, and it is a mind shift. You get excited every time you write them down. So that's my tip of the day, for lack of better terms. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Geico Radio. It's savings on the radio.
Cool, Steve. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just got a free rate quote on geico.com. Saved a ton, and it only took me 5 minutes and 12 seconds. I was wondering, is that some sort of record?
That's a good question. Let's have a look.
Not quite. Someone's got you beat by 8 seconds.
Still, I mean, that's quite fast.
Well, what if I told you I only use one hand?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.
All right, we are back. My guest today is Stephanie Moore. Stephanie Moore is the author of The Gifted Journey, 5 Transformative Steps to Uncovering Your Unique Path. She's also the president of the Moore Group, an organization focused on providing training and coaching in the areas of career development, leadership development, and employee development. Stephanie's strength-based practitioner. Let me try that again. Stephanie is a strength-based practitioner and is a certified Gallup strength coach. Stephanie Moore, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Well, thank you, Bert. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here, and I'm excited to find out about these five transformative steps. And I got to ask you, you know, there are a lot of books in this area. And so what was the catalyst, the aha moment? What was the motivation to write this book?
It's funny you asked that, because back 6 years ago when I started to write this book, I actually shelved it because there are so many books. I mean, I can look at my bookshelf right behind me and see probably 50 books on self-help. And it really made me pause and think about what could I offer into this. And it was my, at the time, 18-year-old son, and I was explaining to him my hesitation. He said, "Mom, do it because you can, and if you don't, no one else will." And it really made me realize that we all have a story to tell. We all have our own experience. We all have our own journey. We all come at this from a different lens. And that really was the catalyst that made me go forward and finish it. And it's based on my experience of being in the career development field for over 2 decades and just kind of the common themes that seemed to come up over the years as people were really going down this path and trying to figure out who they were and how they could really uncover what they really wanted to do.
And how old was your son?
18.
18. My goodness.
I know.
What an exceptional 18-year-old. I think that if I would have told my 18-year-olds, yeah, I'm gonna put it on the shelf for a while. I don't know if they. I'm trying to think. I would hope that they would encourage me, but I don't know. So good for him. Good for
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
All right. So you've been in this field for how long now?
It's been over 2 decades. I've actually been in this field longer than it's really been a thing in companies. I was part of an initial launch in a very large Silicon Valley company called Hewlett-Packard, and they were just starting to introduce something called a people hotion, where they were going to focus on the development of their employees. And I got to be a part of that, and then later realized, and I had already spent time in outplacement, so I saw the other part of it, where people were coming in, had no career help, were now being told that the jobs they had had for 15, 20 years were gone. They had done nothing to prepare themselves for that. And I just found a passion in wanting to get in, help people proactively really manage their careers before having events like that happen. So that really was what got me started, and I ended up at a wonderful nonprofit who was doing some leading-edge work in this area, and I ended up joining them and got my foundational experience in internal career development practices.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about this. Who is the book for?
Everyone and anyone. I mean, really, what came to mind as I was writing it and sharing it with people, it's really for people in some sort of transition in their life. Like, for instance, high school students who are getting ready to figure out what college they want to go to, or college students that are going into their first job, or people who are just unhappy in the work that they're doing and they want to change something about that. It can even be people who are getting ready to retire and trying to figure out what that's going to look like. You know, it can be really those moments where we wake up. That's how I look at it, because what you said earlier was so spot on as far as, you know, we don't necessarily tend to look at this when things are going well. We do look at it, though, when something happens in our life that kind of wakes us up and makes us look at it. So that's kind of where this has landed, kind of in those transitional moments where people really want to dive into some sort of process.
Yeah, okay, I like that. All right, so what do you hope the readers will gain by going through the book? What kind of impact are you envisioning for your readers?
Wow, I mean, ownership of their life, I guess, to put it simply. I mean, it's kind of a wake-up. It's really being able to go through and take time to assess themselves. You know, it's not uncommon for people to tell me, I've never taken any sort of assessment. You know, I really don't know who I am. You know, I've kind of just gone from role to role and never really did it intentionally. So I guess living an intentional life, you know, I love the idea of, you know, having a goal every day that you have to go back to and look at. I love that, and I love what you shared. So I think this mindfulness, this intention, you know, really living life so that you want to be on the right path, I guess that would be my biggest hope.
Yeah. You know what, and it is amazing. I think that a few years ago, my brother was offered a lot of money for his company. And, you know, he came to me and he says, hey, what do you think I should do? Because they were offering him millions of dollars. And theoretically, that is the dream.
Right.
You know, and he could have retired at a fairly early age and, you know, looked at something else and stuff like that. And so I asked him, well, what are you going to do? Let's say that you sell the company. What are you going to do next? Mm. And he couldn't answer that. Mm. And because he couldn't answer that, he ended up not selling the company.
Interesting, yeah.
Because I think that, back to what you're talking about, people, you know, we as people are set, you know, we're supposedly in a box, right? Hey, you go from, you know, one box could be you go from high school to college to you start a career path. And that might work for a large majority of people, but what if you don't fit in that box, or what if that box changes, you know? And I think that when I'm, you know, what I hear about what you're saying is that this book the gifted journey can help somebody when there's that change. When, you know, I'm thinking, I wonder if this book would have helped my brother. You know, maybe he would not have made a different decision, or maybe he would have made a different, you know, he would have reset a goal and said, yeah, I'm going to take the money and I'm going to go and do X, Y, Z. But I like the fact that it's going to help the reader kind of go through a self-discovery. And I would agree with what you said. I think most people never do a self-discovery, any kind of assessment at all. Maybe they might make some technical assessments, you know, are they good enough for this job? They don't make any self-assessments to see who they are. So I think it's a great idea.
Well, it's interesting because I think the second step of the process, which is to discern, you know, when I hear about your brother's journey, you know, discernment is the part that we kind of skip over. So we might in some ways learn about ourselves as we're, you know, going through life, and we might have other people trying to inform us of things we should do, or, you know, and like you said, sometimes money is the driver for some people, and so you don't really stop to say, you know, what's really innate in me that's really driving me in this direction. And that discernment step is really about objectively looking at your past and saying, what are the things about what I've done that I really enjoy, and what do I want to leave behind? And maybe that would have helped your brother to say something was happening for him that he built this successful company, and there must have been something he was doing that he was really enjoying. And what components, if he had maybe taken some time to say, you know, what were the things that really fire me up and got me to this point, and then what would I want to take with me going forward, and maybe leave some stuff behind. And I that's why I really do like the second step in our five-step process.
Okay, so what's the first step?
Discover.
Discover. So okay. And then the second step is discern.
Exactly. It's five D's. Yeah. So it's discover.
Okay.
Yeah. And then discern.
Okay. So we had discover, discern, dream.
And then dream. Dream. Yeah.
Design. And then do.
Do.
Man. Yeah. And I love this because those five D's really are part of any goals that anybody might be looking at, have set, maybe a set of new resolutions. And I think they apply to anything that you might be looking at, because you got to discover, you know, maybe that new goal, that new motivation. You have to discern, you know, what that means to you or something like that. And you gotta dream, you gotta design, you gotta do. So I love that, the five D's. All right, so let's talk about this. In your experience, what's the biggest challenge people face when determining or managing their careers?
Well, you know, it's interesting what you shared early on about people. You know, don't let the opinions of people drive you. I don't know if I just quoted that correctly. I think early on we can have a lot of influence in our path, right? We can have people telling us what we can or can't do based on their own experience. And I talk about a story in the book where, you know, the first time I saw somebody train, I knew that was something that seemed like something I'd want to do. But that first manager I had, when I asked her about that field, her response was, oh, you don't want to do that. It's really a tough job, and you have to travel all the time, and it's exhausting. You're better off doing what you're doing, you know, kind of response. And I find that when you talk to people and you ask them, how did you choose this career? How many times will say, well, I really didn't have a plan. My parents thought it would be a good thing, or friends of mine thought I would be good in this role. It's like that lack of ownership, you know, and getting out in front of it and really having a process, you know. And I've always said it's hard to do this without some sort of guide or some sort of process. And that was really the whole intention of doing this, because it's not really a book, it's more of a workbook, is just to give people that process and you know, help them do this with more intention.
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with a show called America Ninja Warrior.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So...
Yeah.
For for some reason this came into mind. So one of the co-anchors on that show is a gentleman named Mike Eisman. I think it's Mike Eisman. And so I got to hang out with Mike, and we talked a little bit about a story. And interestingly enough, what you said is true. His dad is a doctor, and his dad wanted him to be a doctor. And so, you know, Mike became a doctor. And he is still a physician today. He is still, he still has his license. But after he became a doctor, and, you know, I guess he had a, you know, I don't know, a discovery, a discernment, I don't know. And he decided, you know what, I've done this for my dad. I'm going to now go do what I want to do. And so he entered the world of comedy, stand-up comedy, and he entered the world of entertainment. And he landed this gig on American Ninja Warrior. And he was also one of the winners in The Apprentice. And so, but, you know, again, just highlighting what you said is that we, again, a lot of us fall into this trap of, you know, we don't have an idea what we want, or maybe we're getting a lot of pressure from our parents or our peers to go a certain route. And it really takes, you know, it really takes a wake up call sometimes, or it really just, you need to take a moment and decide if you're on the right path. And I think that there is this, for lack of better terms, this brainwashing, this marketing that says that you must go from, you know, from high school to college to career, and you'll have a happy life. And
right.
We know that is not true for a large percentage of people. And yes, a large percentage of people go from high school to college to career, but they're not happy. They're not fulfilled. They, you know, there are some careers that have a high suicide rate. And, you know, if you're in a career that you hate so much where you're contemplating taking your life, you might want to pick up the gifted journey before you commit suicide and, you know, or get some help. Bottom line is, if you're in a career right now where you're thinking, man, I hate my life so much that I'm going to kill myself, that to me is a wake-up call that you might want to change your life.
Well, it's interesting too, Bert. You know, I have found that sometimes it's hard to realize just how bad it is while you're in it. I talk about one of the positions I had was a senior director for a finance company, and my day was spent with spreadsheets and numbers and, you know, making PowerPoint presentations, and I hated it. And I didn't realize how much I hated it. And I was dealing with a lot of employee issues and things were going on, but I knew somehow deep inside me this wasn't suited for me, but I didn't know what to do different. And I remember that in about the third year, and I was about 30 years old, I had my first ulcer. And I didn't know why. I didn't realize how much stress I was under. But shortly after that, I started getting these nosebleeds that just were happening on a regular basis. And again, had no idea. But my husband said, you need to get to the doctor and figure out what's going on with you. And I did. And he sat there and asked me these series of questions about stress and how happy I was and what was my job. And he sat there for a long time and he said, you know what, I have your prescription and diagnosis. He said, you need to go quit your job because it's literally killing you. And that's what he said, and that stuck with me, you know, that I did not realize just how unhappy I was or what toll it was taking on my body. And had I stayed in that job, who knows? And you think about, you know, sometimes we just aren't aware of the toll that our stress is having on our bodies when we're not in jobs that are suited for us.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it can get pretty serious.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think that, look, if you are, you know, you're having ulcers, nosebleeds, you know, if you are trying to self-medicate with, let's say, alcohol or some other recreational drug, again, it may be a wake-up call that you might need to do something else, that it might just be time for a change. And And, you know, one of my favorite quotes, and I can't remember who said it now, but, you know, you're not a tree. You can move. And that's so true. And you know, there is, what do you call it? There is just so many people that are suffering because they just hate their lives. And most of us spent an enormous amount of time working. So maybe you hate your job, or maybe you hate, you know, something in your life, and it's time to make a change. And so my guest today is Stephanie Moore, and the book is called The Gifted Journey. And one of my, real quick, I'll just mention this. It has a butterfly on the cover of it, which at first, you know, I just didn't pay that much attention to it. But as I picked up the book over and over again, I realized that embedded in the butterfly are some really cool pictures. I'm not going to give them away, but you'll have to go to Amazon or buy the book and check it out. The Gifted Journey, 5 Transformative Steps to Conquering Your Unique Path. But anyway, it's amazing to me. I think that some kind of program, either at the senior level in high school or the first year of college, should be mandatory. Some kind of personal assessment, so you can figure out who you are. And of course, who you are changes; it evolves over time. But what if you made that assessment again? You know, maybe in junior high, and then you do it again in high school, and then you do it again in college. I think that we would have a better quality of life. I think that people would just be happier, don't you?
Absolutely. And just like you say, I think it's an iterative process, so it's not something you go through once. You're constantly coming back to it and reevaluating and reassessing. And yeah, I agree, because it's not like we're going to find one career and stay there for the rest of our life. We're probably going to have multiple journeys and different paths that we're going to go down. And I think you're absolutely right. It's something that at different stages can be very helpful.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. So let me ask you, let's talk about some strategies for becoming unstuck, either, either in your career or your life. If you find yourself stuck, how can we get unstuck?
Well, you know, we talked about people, you know, being careful about the opinions, but I do think people, the right people in your life, can be a bridge to opportunities and to insights. So, for instance, you know, I always like to say, create your own board of directors, you know, people who really have an interest in you, people who have invested time with you, who care about your career, who want to help you. You know, I say 5 to 7 people that can come from different parts of your life, whether they were teachers or managers or friends or colleagues, just people who know you well. And let them know that they are part of your board, so that, you know, they're there to give advice, they're there to give help when you need it. So that would be one thing. Is, you know, you can also seek out a strengths coach. You know, somebody, I like to say strengths coach because I'm a strengths proponent. You know, people who want to help and listen to you and really listen and help guide, you know, that can be very helpful. But mentors, people who have an expertise that, you know, you want to learn, you know, and just having, you know, as a goal every week, maybe find one person that you take to coffee or go to lunch with to learn something new about what they're doing in an area of interest, you know, and build those relationships, because those can really be a catalyst to helping uncover different opportunities. So I would say people, the right people, can certainly be a bridge, but also just planting the thoughts in your mind about what does, you know, a best day look like for you? What does a day where you're using your strengths and your gifts and you're happy, you'll plant those seeds in your mind, because it's just like I equate it when you're buying a car and you're starting to look at different cars and you now start seeing those cars everywhere. You know, they're on the freeway with you everywhere. And so when you start planting seeds in your mind, it's amazing how information will cross your path that you'd never even considered. So it is about, you know, again, being mindful and being intentional.
Yes, absolutely. I love the idea of creating a mastermind group or a board of directors, as you call it. I have a mastermind group. I'm a member of several mastermind groups. And I think this is one of the best strategies for getting unstuck and staying excited about life. You expose yourself to different ways of thinking. You expose yourself to different ideas. Sometimes these mastermind groups pull you ever so gently out of your comfort zone. And I really think that, again, this is just what's worked for me. We get stuck in a rut, and maybe we like our job, and maybe we overall like our life, but if you've lost the zest, maybe you need to do something that kind of shakes things up a little bit. You know, I'm reminded, Stephanie, of there are programs out there where you pay $100 to $150, and one of them is called Spartan, which I've done. Another one's called Tough Mudder. Anyway, these programs are obstacle courses. And they are hugely popular now. And I think that the reason that they're so popular is that we as a society, we as a people, as a humans, sometimes get stuck. And these programs allow people to kind of push themselves and maybe reinvigorate themselves because they're doing something that's, you know, outside of their comfort zone, but they're doing it with a group of people, interestingly enough. Mm-hmm. And I did a Spartan run. I did their beginner Spartan run, which is like 5 miles, and it's got like, I don't know, I think it's like 20 or 30 obstacles. And first of all, what I found interesting was you start off with a little bit of a run. And so this young lady passed me by, and she looked incredible. She had a great physique. She had six packs. She had this great symmetry. She looked like she was going to kill it. And we got to the first obstacle, which was a 6-foot drop, and she froze in fear. She was afraid of heights. And I caught up to her, and she was like, you know, I can't do this. I'm afraid of heights. And then on my left side, another young lady passed both of us up, and she looked like she hadn't eaten in months. She looked like she was kept in a basement and just escaped. And she was, very, very pale, very thin. And she jumped without even a hesitation. She jumped down that 6-foot drop, kept running, never saw her again.
Wow.
And so I quickly learned that, again, you cannot judge people by their cover. You just never know who's doing what. And that somebody that looks like they have it all together, you don't know what their weaknesses are. You don't know what's going to trip them up in life. And so maybe what you're good at, jumping down 6-foot jump, is a weakness for him or her or whatever. And so that's the great thing about getting around a group. So as I jumped down, her friends were getting there, and they said, "Don't worry about it. We're gonna, we're gonna help you get down through this." And so back to what you're saying about having a board of directors, a group of people that know you and can help you and maybe push you with. And so it's an incredible amount. It's incredible. But what we as humans can accomplish, we're in the right environment, right? And if we are allowed to maybe flourish with some positive reinforcement, and conversely, it's an incredible amount of nothingness, that we can do when we don't have the right environment, right?
Well, and I think, again, what that brings up for me is it's so hard to assess yourself by yourself, like in a vacuum.
Yes.
Because people will see things in you that you don't even see in yourself. And the other thing that we have an issue with is discounting our strengths or discounting what we're good at until somebody acknowledges it or sees it in us. And that's why that outside perspective is so incredibly important. And as you say, being there to encourage one another to get through those times where you feel like you can't do something. So, yeah, very important.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that. Yes, I think that one of the worst things that we can do is discount our gifts. And it took me a long time to realize this because but the things that come easy to us, because they come so easy to us, we do discount them, but
right.
There are gifts. That's why they come so easy to us, right? And so maybe maybe for you it's writing or somebody else it's cooking or somebody else it's singing or whatever it is. But because it comes easy, this is our, call it our, maybe our flow or our zone of genius, whatever you want to call it. But it is a gift,
right.
And it's incredibly hard for most people.
Yes. And that
and,
is, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say yes. Absolutely, because it is easy for us, we have perhaps a tendency to think that if I can do it, anyone can do it. And the truth is, it's just the opposite. You have something unique to give that really no one else has to give, and your expression of that is going to be unique to you. And I think that's one of the things I love about this process is you walk away realizing I'm not going to look at the world the way you do, and nor are you going to look at it the way I do. And there's a really wonderful opportunity to then leverage that from each other. You know, you can be the strength where I have weakness and vice versa. And then we stop judging one another. And then we start to really appreciate that I want to play where I'm best, you know, where I can offer my best self. And you can play where you offer your best self. And then there's, you know, it just goes from there.
Absolutely. I love it. The book, again, is called The Gifted Journey. The author is Stephanie Moore. The Gifted Journey, 5 Transformative Steps to Uncovering Your Unique Path, the 5 D's. And Stephanie, thank you so much for writing the book, and thank you so much for stopping by.
Bert, thank you so much for having me. This was great.
You bet.
I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. Good stuff there from Stephanie Moore. The book, again, is called The Gifted Journey. Please, let's share this episode with everybody you know. Let's help as many people as you know discover their 5 D's, discover what makes them unique, get them on the path that is unique to them, maybe wake them up a little bit, encourage them to share their unique gifts. As always, my friends, thank you so much for sharing the show. Thank you so much for stopping by. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.